Father, we want to thank you for you have given us another time, another opportunity to hear your word. Lord, Holy Spirit, you are our teacher, our advocate, our strengthener. You are our very life. You are our peace. You are the presence of God and the essence of Jesus Christ. Please help us. Lead us into all truth. As we surrender ourselves to you, in Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message is The Lord Holy Spirit and the Bride. You know, there are many names for the body of Christ, the church. The church is also called the Bride of Christ. So the message is actually the relationship between the church or the believer and the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit, excuse me. The Lord Holy Spirit. What is the relationship? Revelation 22:17, that scripture says, actually the title that I'm telling you, 22:17. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Always it's offered freely. And it is our decision. It is so dangerous not to make a decision. So let us go through with the help of the Lord Holy Spirit how the Lord Holy Spirit relates to us, the bride, the church, which is the believer, every individual believer, right? Okay. John chapter 14, verse 16. Jesus has come almost to the end of his ministry. Now it's time for him to say some very deep and secret things regarding his departure. So he tells them these deep, important things. John 14, 16. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper or comforter, that he may abide with you forever. The King James says, I think it's comforter. The New King James says helper. And the actual Greek word is parakletos. And there we have the translation as comforter or helper or advocate. We'll come to that. So when Jesus said, I am leaving you now, and they all became very sad, sorrowful, because they had left everything, their jobs and everything, their homes, to follow Jesus, probably about 3.5 years in his ministry. Now suddenly he says, I'm leaving. I must go to my Father. And they are filled with sorrow, sadness. And Jesus continues saying, he was actually telling them, I am leaving you as a person. Say person. I am leaving you as a person. But even though I leave you as a person, I am going to send you another person in my place. See? We need to receive the revelation of these scriptures with the help of the Lord Holy Spirit. He said, I'm going to the Father. Another person of the same kind will come from the Father. And the word another is very important. So one person is leaving, that's Jesus. Another person is coming, that the Lord Holy Spirit. As I said, comforter means someone called alongside to help you to come out victorious. This is the actual meaning of the word comforter, parakletos in Greek. Someone who is called alongside with you in your life to help you in your trials and to make you come out of the trials victorious. Can somebody say amen? The word comforter in John 16:16, translated from the Greek word parakletos, is the same word used in 1 John 2:1. Let's say John 16:16. Excuse me, 14:16, the one which we read just now. 14:16, I will send you another comforter, another helper, comforter. 1 John 2:1. This is the same Greek word used there in John 14:16, parakletos, and see how they have translated this one. 1 John 2:1. My children, little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate. Can you see that word? That word is translated from the same Greek word, parakletos, which is translated comforter in John 14:16. Here we have advocate. So Jesus said, I have to go as a person. I have been with you as an advocate. I'm going now. And another advocate will come in my place. Another person will come in my place. Another one. So we have an advocate in 1 John 2:1 in heaven. Who is that? Jesus Christ. But we have another advocate within us on earth. Who is that? The Lord Holy Spirit. So the born again believer have double blessing. Two advocates. One in heaven, one inside. You see, a lawyer makes sure, advocate, an attorney who knows everything, our rights. What do I have? Can I get this one? A lawyer makes sure that we get all our rights or inheritance that is ours. He fights our case. He helps us from being cheated. We have a confused, cheating lawyer roaming about. Who is that? The devil. He's always trying to twist our case, hide our inheritance, our rights, what Jesus has got for us through his death and resurrection. All what the Father has belongs to Jesus. That's what he said. All what the Father has belongs to me. All the Father has is mine. And the Holy Spirit will come and reveal everything what I have to you. And the Bible says we are heirs with God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And we don't know the depth of it, because we have no revelation knowledge. We have head knowledge. We read it, but we don't get it. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Follow with me, even though it may be a little bit, you may find it a little difficult or whatever in your mind, but with the help of the Lord Holy Spirit, you will know where we are going. So we have two advocates. Jesus died and he made a new will for us. And all the inheritance that he received from the Father, he had given it to us. It's available to us. It is open to us. And he has given us a lawyer who cannot be defeated. You will not find a better lawyer than the Holy Spirit, the Lord. No, we can't. people to win cases and all, you know, when they have a case or problem, they see to it that they get a good lawyer. If the lawyer is a useless person, is drinking very often and then late to the courts, I mean, you're going to lose the case. But you cannot find anyone better, an advocate, than the Lord Jehovah, the Holy Spirit, who left heaven when Jesus went back there. Are you getting this in your heart? If so, yes, say yes. So Jesus said, I am leaving. Another advocate is coming. That's what he said. I told you the same Greek word translated. Jesus made us eligible to receive all the blessings in the new covenant. Now, in order to receive all the rights that Jesus had given us, he sent us the best lawyer to live within us and to be upon us and to be with us forever. And we can communicate with this lawyer anytime. Most of the lawyers cannot be contacted. They're busy. And they look serious all the time. Talking about something. Like sometimes I go and sit and watch these. Oh, they got all their files and bags and, you know, right? Why so quiet? So the heaven's best lawyer is within you. Say after me, the heaven's best lawyer is within me, for I am a child of God. Why do you have to put a long face then? See, we need revelation. This lawyer came so that we will never be cheated by this crooked lawyer, Satan. He's roaming about to place his case, accusing us before the Father. But thank God we got an advocate in heaven. And we have an advocate within us. Person, not wind, not dove, not fire, not tongues, a person. In John chapter 14, 16, as I said to you, Jesus said, I will send you another advocate. The Lord Holy Spirit is not an advocate for the world. He came as an advocate for the child of God, blood-bought children of God. You should know that. And Jesus said, I will not leave you helpless. Actual Greek word says, I will not leave you orphans. So that means, if we are not having direct communication with the lawyer, the Lord Holy Spirit, we live as orphans. Whether we like it or not. Whether we will take this, what I am saying. Because it's very clear, I will not leave you as orphans. Like children without parents. No, no, I will send you another person like me. Even when they heard this, they were not very happy. They were sad. Because sorrow had filled their hearts now. Jesus is leaving now. What are we going to do? John 14, 25, 26. John 14. I better take me on the Bible probably. King James. John 14, 25, 26. These things I have spoken unto you, being yet present with you. Can you see that? I'm saying these things to you as I am with you now. But the Comforter, the Advocate, who is the Holy Spirit, now the which is in italics. Can you see that? So which is not in the original. Who is the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, You will not be helpless as an orphan. The advocate, the Lord Holy Spirit, is coming to help you. You are unable to receive anymore, Jesus was saying. The comforter or the advocate, the Holy Spirit, will come and teach you all things. A power cannot teach. A fire cannot teach. A dove, some people think, you know, no. He is a person. He will come and he will teach all things to you. So two things. He will teach you all things. He will bring you to your remembrance that all that I have taught you. So his ministry, main ministry, teaching ministry, he will teach you the scriptures. And he will bring it to your remembrance. Sometimes you are struggling and suddenly there is a scripture that is trying to come in your heart. Maybe you are driving, maybe you are walking on the street. Without your knowledge, there's a scripture that is comforting you. Surely you have had that experience. He brings it to our remembrance. Remembrancer. That is one of his ministries. So Jesus is leaving the earth as a person. And another one is coming. John chapter 16. Verse 7. We'll read from 5. But now I may go my way to him that sent me. Who sent the Lord Jesus Christ? The Father and the Holy Spirit, the Lord. And none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? Where are you going? Why they didn't ask, where are you going, Lord? Why are you leaving us? The next verse says, why they didn't ask. But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. They were filled with sorrow and sadness. And they didn't want to ask him, Lord, why so suddenly you say this? Why didn't you tell us before? Now they were all shocked. And they were thinking that he had come to get the kingdom and establish the nation of Israel, even from the hands of the Romans who were ruling them at that time. But sorrow had filled their hearts now. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Comforter, the Advocate, will not come to you. But if I go or depart, I will send him to you, or unto you. So Jesus is saying, it is your best interest that I go away. You are better off if I go. I can't imagine. They were just looking at his face. What is he saying? Better off is for our good. Jesus is saying, you are better off having me in heaven and the Holy Spirit on earth within you than the other way, having me with you always and the Lord Holy Spirit in heaven. Did you get that? He says, no, I must go. Now, if any one of you, even I myself, say the same thing. If I say, how many of you would like to have Jesus seated here so that we can go and touch him? And how many of you would like to have Jesus right now that we can see him and just talk to him? You will say, oh yes, Pastor. But Jesus says, no, you are not better off. It's good to have me, but you are better. Have you heard that? Good, better, best. That means you are, it's more blessing for you. You are really blessed to have me in heaven with the Father and the Advocate, the Lord Holy Spirit within you, upon you, than the Holy Spirit to remain in heaven, than to have me physically walking about with you. And still, look at our human minds. Some people say the other day, one lady was talking to me, oh, Pastor, I'm just waiting when Jesus will come soon. Too many problems. I can't be, I don't know what to do. I'm just waiting. Oh, Lord, come quickly. There are human minds think that way. We really even think now to have Jesus right now before his second coming visible, is we are better off. No, Jesus, what did he say? I am telling you the truth. What did he say? I'm telling you the truth. He doesn't have to say that. But he says, now take this. It is your blessing. You are better off. It's expedient for me to go to the Father and send the Holy Spirit. Rather, I stay and the Holy Spirit remain in heaven. How many of you are getting this? So we are really better off. And why are we walking this way, thinking about our problems, having no lawyer? I'm just fighting my own case. The advocate is here. The advocate has come. So Jesus, if I do not go away, the comforter, the advocate will not come. So there is an exchange of persons taking place over here. Exchange of persons. But yet, 99% of the time, I believe, in my opinion, the born-again children of God will want to have Jesus Christ. Or sometimes we may have thought that it would have been much better we have been living during the time of the apostles to see Lazarus raised, you know, and Jesus walking on water. And yeah, we think that way. But Jesus says, I tell you the truth. You are better off if I go to heaven and if I send the Holy Spirit come inside you. You're better off. And why have we not grasped and received that truth? Why the church in this way? Because we have not received the revelation. It's the revelation knowledge that changes us. It is not just listening to a message. You got to get the thing birthed over here in our spirit. And the revelation knowledge is imparted only by the Lord Holy Spirit. I'm going to show you why Jesus said better off. The apostles were changed instantly after the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jehovah, left heaven and came upon them. They were changed instantly. You know, the apostles were slow to believe during the time when Jesus was on earth. He talked about so many things and they were fighting each other. He was walking towards the end of the ministry, towards Jerusalem, and here they are fighting. Who will be the greatest among us? Can you see that? And he will speak about, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And they will say, probably Peter or John, he's talking about the bread. We never did you to get the parcel. We never brought any bread and fish. And he has to say, well, can't you understand? I'm talking about the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. Beware. You don't be like that. Be careful. Hypocrisy is an infectious disease. Like Peter got caught once. If you read in the book of Galatians. So they were so slow to believe. They were frightened. They were doubting. Even after resurrection, they were doubting. And Jesus knew during his ministry, listen carefully, that they could not take more scriptures. They could not take the real revelation of God through him. Did you know that? John 16:12, you go there. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot take it now. How is that? You can't take it now. They have no receptivity inside to receive. Certain things, of course, yes. But Jesus said, I have so many things to say to you, but you can't bear them. You can't receive them now. Some people, you come and they sit in churches Sunday after Sunday, they receive nothing. All what they could hear is the voice of the pastor. Or the songs. And their lives never change. But one word from God received. You hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Man, I tell you. Nobody had to tell you, put your hands up, oh come on, let us. In some churches you'll have to say, let us raise our hands to praise. It's an exercise. Isn't that right? Oh come on, don't just stand like this. Come on, do something with your body. You've got to tell them. It is not spontaneous. So Jesus said, you cannot bear now. What did he say? However, when he, the Spirit, the Lord Jehovah of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, he shall speak, and he will show you things to come. Can you see that? They could not even understand the parable of the sower. And he said, what did you speak about, sower? You said about the birds came and then took some. What is it, Lord? They asked him when he was alone. And Jesus said, if you don't understand this, how will you understand all the parables? And there are many born again believers still seated in churches. They haven't got the revelation of the parable of the sower. So they understand nothing. If you get a grasp of the parable of the sower, tell you, you will begin to consider what you are about, where you are going, what is happening within your heart, how you are receiving the word. In Mark chapter 16, 13 and 14, now the resurrected Jesus, and then he sends message to them, and see what happens after the resurrection. 16, 13 and 14. And they went and told it unto the residue, or the disciples. Neither believed they them. They wouldn't want to believe. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at the meat. Jesus came straight on. And he appeared to them in the resurrected body, not as a spirit. Hold your hand. He had a resurrected body. That's why he said, hold, touch. I'm not a spirit. In that resurrected body, he's in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father, waiting to come to receive his church. So he appeared to them, to the 11, as they sat at meat, and upbraided them. That means he rebuked them. Why? With their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. He did not believe it. They did not believe when people went to talk. We saw the Lord. And they didn't want to believe. So Jesus came, appeared to them, and he rebuked them. Can you see? But my brothers and sisters, the moment the Lord Jehovah, the Holy Spirit, left heaven and came upon them, what happened? Peter, who denied three times, and all the other apostles who fled and hid themselves, when the soldiers came to arrest Jesus, now they're all gathered together. Peter is giving a sermon. Where did he get his knowledge? Where did he get this boldness? What happened? How can he quote from this is that said by prophet Joel? My God, he never mentioned anything about Joel. The Holy Spirit came instantly. He stirred up Peter. And then he spoke. This is what Joel said. And in front of all those people, he's speaking, knowing trouble can come. Knowing that the other priests of Pharisees sing may lay hands on them. But the boldness came. Instantaneous change. Jesus knew that this will happen. That's why he said, I have many things to say, but I'm not going to say it because you cannot bear. You need the Lord Holy Spirit to take, to give that boldness, to give that manner from direct from God. They were changed. They knew what they should speak. They knew what they should do. See that? Nobody needed to tell them anything. All this happened, this change, only after the Lord Jehovah, the Holy Spirit, left heaven and came upon the disciples. Not during the time of Jesus. They were fighting and quarreling and doing all kinds of things. See? The coming of the Lord Holy Spirit made all the difference. And he is all we need now. He's all we need. He doesn't need a 10,000 membership church to fight against the devils, all the devils in Scarborough. No. See, one shall chase 1,000, and 2, 10,000. So we see the change took place after the Lord Holy Spirit came, not before. Please make a note of that. And now let's see how Jesus deliberately, purposely breaks the Greek grammar when he was speaking. He was not speaking in Greek, rather. But you know, in Greek, there is no gender for the word spirit. Pneuma. It is neuter gender. That means it's not masculine, it is not feminine. So they call it it. Whenever they speak of the spirit, they say it. Not a he or she. But Jesus, while he speaks, he breaks all those rules. John 16. John 16. You're taking it? Seven. Excuse me, verse 12. I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, can you see that? It should be it. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that he shall speak. And he will show you all things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. And the church has not grasped this. And most of the time we think of as a wind or just a power, an influence, something like that. Psychologically, we have received that way. Not as a person. Not as a person. You see? The Holy Spirit, Jesus said, the Lord will not speak for himself. What he hears, he will speak. He has come to glorify Jesus. He will not glorify himself. He will speak and glorify Jesus. He will take all that is of Jesus and show it to us. I pray that the Lord will give you a little time to squeeze in to go. Actually, who the bride is. Now, everything that comes to us through Jesus comes from the Father. But all that belongs to Jesus is received by us only through the Lord Holy Spirit. Without the Lord Holy Spirit, nothing that we can receive from God's word or from the Lord Jesus Christ. We will be without our inheritance. Today, many Christians are sick, troubled, demon-tormented, confused. They live a lonely life and they have quarrels among themselves, quarrel in the family, dissatisfaction. Why all these things? They are truly born again. They go to church Sunday after Sunday, or even maybe Bible study. Why are they living a dissatisfied life? Why? 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 9. You know, Jesus spoke about the Lord Holy Spirit, that when he comes, he will show everything to you. Before he came, Jesus said that, right, to the disciples. He is going to take all what is mine and show it unto you. Now, Paul is talking through the Holy Spirit. He's telling the same thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse, what did I say? 9. Verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God had prepared for them that love him. Look at me. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, in our hearts it has not dawned. That means he's saying, sense knowledge will never receive anything. Sense knowledge will never allow you to receive the things that God had already prepared and given it through Jesus Christ. All that is ours, you cannot get it through the sense knowledge. by seeing, by hearing, by whatever knowledge. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. That's what he's saying. Verse 10, but God had revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Did you see that? God had revealed these things, all that is ours, through the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that belongs to us, the authority, the inheritance, the blessings in the family, for the children, every blessing had been given to us, but it is only ours through the Lord Holy Spirit. That's why the advocate came. The advocate fights our case because we have a crooked advocate all the time working even overtime to attack us. When we go to bed, he's working still. How can I upset her as she opens her eyes in the morning? What word will somebody will say will make the fuse? And then to go with that kind of a emotional trauma through the day. Sometimes we say, right? Oh, that man spoke this way and that was enough for the day. And we start meditating on that. Oh, it happens. It happens. The Holy Spirit, the Lord, reveals the things of God. Continuing reading in the same scripture. For the Spirit, the Lord Jehovah, searches all things. How many things? All things. Yeah, the deep things of God. Look at me. There are deep things of God that we need to know. And who is going to impart that knowledge to us? The Lord Holy Spirit. Jehovah God, Holy Spirit. He is the one who is going to impart all that to us. For what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. We have received the advocate, the person, the Lord, Holy Spirit. Why? Why have we received him? It continues to say, that scripture says that. Why did we receive him? We have received, why? Which is of what? That we might know the things that are freely given to us from God. Can you see that? Now you should know now why Jesus sent us the Lord Holy Spirit, the advocate. What is the main reason? That we should know that the things that are freely given to us by God. He's got the secret and we don't talk to him. We love talking to ourselves from the time we get up and go to bed. Just dream. What are you doing? Oh, no, I'm just thinking. Yeah. Thinking about something. From the time we get up from bed and go until we go to bed, we have to think something, right? Or you don't think. If you don't think, there's something wrong there. You can't keep it blank. We got to think something. What do we think? That's the secret. The Holy Spirit, the Lord, was given to show us the things from God that were given to us freely. That was the reason. That was the reason that was given. To give us direct knowledge. It's a revelation knowledge. Not by studying. No head knowledge. Even though the Lord Holy Spirit lives in us, if we have no intimacy, close acquaintance, close fellowship, moment by moment, hour by hour, we cannot know the deep things of God. We cannot know all that. Do you love God? So he had reserved many things and he had given it to you. But you cannot know it. I will not know it unless I am so friendly with the Holy Spirit. I'm just talking. Now, Holy Spirit, you have not told me. What are you going to do? What are you going to do next month? I don't know. What are your plans? Please. Why should I study all these things? You keep on asking. Keep on asking. Asking the Holy Spirit. Asking the Holy Spirit. He's got the secret. Did he not say in a time, separate unto me Barnabas and Paul for the work which I am thinking what to give and No. Which work which I have reserved for them. He's got the answer. He's got everything. I am coming now to the bride. The story of Abraham, his son Isaac, and finding a bride for his son, a daughter-in-law, a bride for Isaac. If we study the story, you're going to see certain things, how the Holy Spirit is functioning over there. It's a shadow. It's a pattern how the Trinity, the Godhead, functions. This is not a story alone, but it is also can be taken as a shadow of things and also a parable. Abraham, go to Genesis chapter 24. Abraham is a type of God the Father. Who is it? A type of who? God the Father. Come on, don't be afraid. Isaac is a type of God the Son. A type. Did you get those things? Now, the servant of Abraham is a type of the Lord Holy Spirit. The servant of Abraham. And, of course, the bride Rebecca is a type of the church. Now, did you get all those things? Abraham is a type of what? God the Father. Isaac? God the Son. And the servant of Abraham? God the Holy Spirit. And who is the bride? Rebecca is the bride. Type of church. Did you get it? Did you get those things? So have it in your heart as we go through this. You can notice the main character of this story. The main character, the main person is nameless. His name is servant. And he is the Lord Holy Spirit. You know why he's nameless? He never exalt himself. He will never, Jesus said, speak of himself. He will always point to the who? The Son. He will talk about the Son. When he comes, he will reveal all that is mine and show it to you. So, if you read that chapter when you go home, right? Not if you have time, make it a point to read. Read verses, chapter 24, verse 5, 9, 10, 17, 34, 53, 65, 66. In all these things, you read the whole chapter. In all these things, why I said that is the word servant comes there. Servant, servant, servant. And the servant said, and the servant said, and the servant ran, and servant. Who is that? The Lord Holy Spirit. Now you're going to see. Okay, let's go. Oh, Lord, help me. Help me to go through. Genesis 24, 1, 2. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age. And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had. Hallelujah. I feel the alignment. The servant ruled all that Abraham had. So that means the Holy Spirit is the administrator. He holds the key to everything owned by the Father. He ruled over everything that God the Father has. And all the what God the Father has belongs to who? Jesus Christ. Because Abraham gave everything to who? To Isaac. Who is Isaac? His son, right? Type of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the servant, a type of the Lord Holy Spirit, is ruling over all the wealth, everything that Abraham had. See that? He is the administrator of all the wealth. How true it is with the kingdom. How true it is with the Godhead. The Holy Spirit holds everything that were given to us through Jesus Christ. And from the Holy Spirit, we receive it. Amen. That's why the church and the believers, you know, we Jesus live as paupers. We sing our songs as we are begging him, you know. Perennial beggars. We beg, 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 beg. Oh, please, Lord. Yeah. See? Without the Lord Holy Spirit, we receive nothing. We receive nothing. All right. Genesis 24, 9 and 10. We skip. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore unto him concerning that matter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed. For all the goods of his master were in his hand. All the goods of his master were in his hand. All the goods of his master were in his hand. Talking of whom? The servant of Abraham. Who is that? The type of? The Lord Holy Spirit. I got to program you, man. The Lord Jehovah, the Holy Spirit. It was in his hands. It is in his hands right now. That's why the church, I told you certain churches, they fry sausages and sell for money. I saw this with my eyes on Sunday morning. What are you all doing here? The church? No, no. We're collecting some money for evangelism. Frying sausages. Streets of Wellington, New Zealand. Oh, my Lord. And all the wealth now is with the Holy Spirit who has been sent to us, the advocate. And if we forget him, I think we deserve it that way. Isn't that right? So the servant takes the oath and he took 10 camels in. A camel load is a lot. Some of you have not seen a camel straight in front as real. You have seen it only baby paper, whatever, TV. Or maybe you have seen a lazy camel in the zoo. A camel is a really a hefty or strong animal. It can chase you. Oh yeah, sometimes it can hurt you. If it's not trained, and it can carry loads of baggages on its whatever. And 10 camels loads servant was taking. To whom do you think he was taking? Now you know it. I have no gift, Pastor. I don't know. Not even one gift operates in me. Watch these things. Verse 12. And he said, O Lord, my God, my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water and the daughter of the men of the city of the house. You know, he's standing at the well. You know the story. And he's praying. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us also. He prays. And he's praying a prayer that he should find the right bride for Isaac. And who is the bride? You're born again? You are that Rebecca. The servant, the Lord Holy Spirit is going in search. If you really know that you have come near the Lord Jesus Christ, this happened. The Holy Spirit left. And came searching. Oh, there is a well over there. Okay. Somebody might come over there. You remember, how come the Holy Spirit comes near the well and Jesus also came near the well? And there, this Samaritan woman here, Rebecca, is coming. See, both the ladies were one. What did I say? Verse 12, right? And 14. And it came to pass, the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby I shall know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. So he prayed a prayer this way. Now the servant is a type of who? The Lord Holy Spirit. And it came to pass before he had done speaking that behold, Rebekah came out who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with a pitcher upon her shoulder. Rebekah walks in to draw water. Can you see that? The Lord Holy Spirit prayerfully goes out to seek the souls. And that is why you and I have been born again. Jesus said, unless my Father draws someone to me, no one can come to me. It is the drawing power of the Lord Holy Spirit brought us near Jesus. Don't you ever forget that. Someone has been praying for you. Maybe your mother, your grandmother, I don't know. Someone has been praying. And verse 17 and 18. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my Lord. And she hurried. Watch that word. She hurried. She was not lazy. Today you find churches, believers, lazy man. They want everything. They want the pastor to do. She hurried and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. Do you recollect Jesus asked water from the Samaritan woman? And the conversation went, and she said, how can you ask water? She was smart. Because we are Samaritans, you are Jews. Jews have nothing to do with the Samaritans. How can you ask water? But Rebecca never said anything. She said, okay, I'll draw for you. And you got to draw. Many of us know what it is to draw water from the well. In Canada, you don't have that. You have not seen that. Some of you don't know what I'm talking of. And others know. We've got to put the bucket and then. And there. We have. In the rain. Fresh water. Not the clean sewage water. No, no, no. It's true. So notice that word, she hurried, she did it quickly. And I want to say something over here, that Rebecca, a type of the church, she drew water for 10 camels. 10 camels. They say a thirsty camel will drink 40 gallons of water. You know what a gallon is? A gallon is 6 bottles. Can, 6 bottles. So 40 gallons of water it'll take and then preserve something inside. They have a place to store up. Are you there listening to me? So 10 camels? 400 gallons. Look at Rebecca. She has to draw 400 gallons of water. She never grumbled. Verse 19, and when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also. Now, the servant never asked her, can you give some water for camels? But she volunteered. In what things are you volunteering? Oh, Pastor, I can feed 2 camels, but not 10. I might myself fall inside the well. The servant never asked her to do that. She volunteered. Brothers and sisters, there is so much work in the kingdom of God. In Psalm 110, the Holy Spirit, the Lord says, you know, on that day, the youth shall volunteer. They will volunteer. They will give their lives. Lord, we want to serve you. And there are so many youths out all over the world in the missionary work. You know that? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. University students, lots of others, studied, engineers, doctors, given up. They are in the missionary work. They have received and heard from the Lord Holy Spirit. Laborers are few. The harvest is plenty. So she volunteered. And then what did she say? I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. And she hasted, that means she hurried again quickly. She was doing it, everything, running here and there, not knowing who this man is. Did the servant tell her, hey, wait a minute now, I think you're going to be a bride for my... No, I never told her anything. Nothing. He was keeping it secret. The secret of Abraham, he was keeping it. Can you get it? The secret of God is with the Holy Spirit. The deeper things of God is with God the Holy Spirit. So he's coming and he's not telling everything. And he says, okay, can I have some water? Oh, yes. And then he's given the water and she's hurrying now to feed the camels. The camels have got the Lord's what? The gifts. The camels have got all the gifts that you need. Response to the Lord Holy Spirit will determine what we receive from God and also our destiny. Our response to the Lord Holy Spirit will open the doors to receive all what God has for us. Rebecca responded wholeheartedly, and the story went on. Little by little, the servant began to unfold, to reveal the reason why he came. He prayed a prayer. He never said, Rebecca, I prayed and you have come. You are the bride. No, no, no. We expect the Holy Spirit to tell us like, oh, Holy Spirit, tell me, what am I doing? What, should I go to China? No, no, no. What about Timbuktu? No, you're not going to say immediately. Are we responding to him? May the Lord bless every one of you who have been volunteering to come and then help. Or at home, whatever in work that is needed, there are plenty of work. Whenever when there is no permanent structure. So she hurried to help. Brothers and sisters, please make a note of that. And verse 22. Now. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man, who is the man? The servant. Who is the type? Of the Lord Holy Spirit. The man took a golden earring, half a shekel weight, and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold. Here it says, earring, the original it says, ornament worn on the forehead. In Tamil, you know that. You see, it's a forehead ornament. What is it telling us, that one? When you respond to the Holy Spirit comes and seals on your forehead. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit to the day of redemption. See, everything is a shadow. Can you see that? Can you see? Maybe you didn't want to read this chapter. Why should you know about Rebecca? Now, when she was qualified, when she gave herself and responded to the servant opened the packs of the camels to take out the gifts. 10 camels worth of gifts. So our response to the Holy Spirit is very important. She was ready to do the will of God. You are born again, you consider yourself Rebecca, church, the individual believer, how are you responding to the Holy Spirit? Verse 23, and said, whose daughter are you? Now the servant is asking, tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? Now Rebecca has got room in her head. I'm sorry, he showed me this, I said head. Rebecca had a room in her heart. And now the Holy Spirit is asking, have you got room in your house? That is like the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You responded to salvation and the Holy Spirit said, I'm going to take control of you. Will you let me? Will you yield yourself to me? Is there many room in your heart? Can you give all the rooms? Are you going to keep at least 2 keys for yourself? Oh, not here, Lord. I will give the 7 keys, but 3 I want to keep it. That's what we do. Yielding. So the Holy Spirit asks, have you got more room? Home? He's asking. Waiting for her willingness. But she was willing. Rebecca was willing to make room for the servant and provide need for the camels. Verse 24. And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. She said, moreover unto him, we have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. Can we say that? Come in, Lord. Whatever room you want to occupy, come, Lord Holy. You sang that song. Come, Holy Spirit, fall afresh on me. He says, have you got many rooms in your heart? Can I take over? He's not going to push. Can you see that that servant is waiting for the response of Rebecca? That's why we are struggling. We don't make any response to him. We don't make any response.